I'm Vermont Edition co-host Bob Kinzel. Just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The city of Burlington announced this month that it is going to expand a pilot project tracking COVID-19 in the city's wastewater treatment plants and continue the program for at least another 3 months. The project surveys wastewater for RNA strands that carry the novel coronavirus. But what good does finding it in the city's sewage actually do for how the city and state can respond to coronavirus in the population? Here to explain that and offer more details of the program is Brian Lowe, Burlington's Chief Innovation Officer. Brian, welcome.
Hey, Jane. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So explain where you're testing wastewater and what you're actually testing for.
So the city of Burlington has three wastewater treatment plants. And so we are currently conducting tests twice a week in each of those wastewater plants and looking to expand potentially into other sites across the community in the coming weeks, where we can see the prevalence of COVID-19 in the RNA, as you noted, in the city's wastewater. And for us, being able to see the prevalence level over time is very helpful in understanding how and if coronavirus is progressing in our community.
How does it help you understand if coronavirus is progressing in the community? Does the coronavirus in wastewater tend to appear before the individuals themselves know they have it?
Yes. So I think the way I would explain it is, stepping back just for a second, right now changes in prevalence in COVID-19 are generally tracked through test results for symptomatic individuals. And so you see those kind of numbers aggregate over time, and you're able to get a sense of the prevalence in a community. The problem with that is that it can take up to 5 days, sometimes longer, for symptoms to manifest. And so if someone is contagious, that's a long time before they get tested. And then there could potentially be delays around testing and results. And so it's important, if there is a way to do another level of earlier detection, it could help a community get a sense of what that looks like much earlier. And what's intriguing about wastewater is that it does appear to have a lead time of up to about 7 days on the clinical testing. So you could know that you're seeing a kind of rising prevalence in a community about 7 days before it would show up in clinical test results.
Has that happened in Burlington, or has the virus been so low in the population in Vermont during your testing period that you haven't really been able to test that efficacy?
Great question. Luckily, so far, we have fairly low prevalence in Burlington. And while there is some volatility, it's at a very low level in our community thus far. Part of the reason we pushed to implement this program in August was that we know that as people are recovering from the coronavirus, they do shed through their stool RNA samples. And so if you have high prevalence in a community, this kind of tool is less useful because you have people who are not active cases who are still being picked up in the wastewater surveillance. So having this implemented when the prevalence rates were low was very advantageous, we hope, to us if we do see some kind of surge in the future.
How is this project funded?
It's reimbursed through CARES funding. The city put forward the initial dollars. The mayor was open to us pursuing this project. We presented information to him about what was happening primarily out of Northeast Ohio originally, and since spread to a number of other municipalities across the country, where we put some initial city dollars at risk, but we believe this now will be reimbursable through CARES funding.
And you're doing it with Dartmouth Hitchcock?
Yes, there's a number of partners. I think University of Vermont researchers are engaged with us. Dartmouth Hitchcock is providing the actual testing at our wastewater treatment plants. We're also working very closely with the Vermont Department of Health, and a firm called Go Agua, which is a firm combination of researchers in Spain, Florida, and Colorado that have been responsible for a lot of testing, particularly in Europe. And then within the city team, our water director, Megan Moyer, and our lead analyst, Carolyn Felix, are holding kind of critical roles here.
Brian, we talked just briefly earlier that what you're doing is surveying the wastewater for RNA strands that might have COVID-19. Just to put people at ease, you can't tell who the RNA is coming from. You're not trying to identify individuals and go find them and say, we tested your feces and you have COVID-19. So there aren't privacy concerns here for people who are shedding their wastewater into the city's treatment plants?
Yes, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked that, Jane. Thank you. This is in some ways like an old technique. It is absolutely anonymized. It's, you know, testing at these different wastewater treatment plants. These are kind of catchment areas that are 10,000 or more people that they serve. And there's no way to track back from the wastewater plant to individuals or to an individual level. I think it's important to note just two quick things. You know, one is it's an old technology in the sense of it's been used, for example, to detect polio at kind of population levels. And it's a new technology in that obviously the coronavirus here is a new virus. And so the technology that we're using is an emerging technology and things are changing fairly rapidly in the field. The CDC just put up guidance around this, I think last week or earlier this week. So it's definitely both old and new. I've lost my train of thought on this.
You're using technology that's already been tested, but the bottom line is it's anonymized. It's not going out. It's not actually figuring out that, you know, Joe Schmo on Pine Street is who you're testing.
Absolutely. There's no way to get individual level readings like that doing what we're doing now. And that was the other point I wanted to make was just that not everybody sheds RNA through their...
Yes, this is what I want to talk about, Brian, because I didn't know this. One of the limitations of this project is that not everyone sheds RNA in their stool. What the heck? Why do some people do that and not others? And how do I know what I do?
Yeah, we do not know definitively yet why some people do and some people don't. I think what's really interesting about it is that... like anything that we're doing with the coronavirus as a country broadly, like each of these interventions is imperfect. And where clinical testing, you know, the PCR testing can have time lags and, you know, can be a challenge to get if you don't know that you're symptomatic. What's nice about wastewater testing is that it picks up both symptomatic and asymptomatic people. But right now, we think only between 40 and 80% of people actually shed RNA through their stool.
That's a big difference between 40 and 80% of people. If it's 40% of people, maybe not as useful as if it's 80% of people. Why don't we know? I want to know all about this now. I promise that we will not spend the next 20 minutes talking about this. But why don't we know more about who and how many and what percentage shed RNA in their stool?
It's been a long-held dream of mine to talk to Jane Lindholm about poop on Vermont Edition.
Good. I'm glad we could both recognize that dream today.
It's because, you know, our understanding of the virus is really evolving fairly rapidly. You know, even a month ago, I would have given you a figure of between 30 and 60%. And I think ultimately, we would need to make sure that someone who's a real specialist in wastewater-based epidemiology, there are a couple at the Vermont Department of Health, gave you kind of the final answer. But the current literature I've seen, and in conversations with those experts, I'm now seeing this kind of 40 to 80% range. I think that range is indicative of, you know, it's not something we know definitively yet. It's something that, you know, we should treat as a useful tool to help the community prepare for, you know, if we do encounter a surge in the fall or winter here, but not something that should be used in isolation. You know, it definitely does not replace mask use or hand washing or social distancing, but it is an additional layer that could give us an early warning, which could be significant for a city like Burlington.
So, Brian, how else then could you use what you're learning? I mean, you just said that it's changing the research on what we know about, you know, who sheds RNA in their stool and other things that we're learning about testing wastewater for different ways to track what's happening in our populations. Do you have a sense of how you might use what you find in this project in other projects when we hope this is no longer quite the issue it is today?
Sure. Great question. I think, it is really interesting, right? Like wastewater-based epidemiology has been used for polio in the past. It's actually been used to track opioid levels in some cities, opioid use levels in some cities. It to me, you know, as someone who did not come from this background, it feels like a whole new domain that's fascinating that could help get at, you know, what is actually happening under the surface in a community. I think there are, as you alluded to, like really significant privacy concerns that we'd want to make sure, this is not something that, you know, you can get at the individual level. I don't know yet, Jane, what kind of post-COVID applications there would be. It certainly seems like there could be some, whether they're disease-related or public health-related.
Brian Lowe is the City of Burlington's Chief Innovation Officer. Brian, thank you very much for telling us about the wastewater COVID screening project the city is doing. I appreciate it.
Hey, well, thank you very much, Jane.